Welcome to Uniquely Loved, a celebration of authenticity and divine inspiration. We are encouraged to be our own unique, authentic selves. Join me, Tech Witch Nikki, as we discuss spiritual gifts and skills we can develop and enhance, speak with amazing people using their skills in a variety of ways, and explore the different ways to connect to the wonders of the universe. Hello, my loves. I am so happy to introduce to you Rebecca Kleiss. Now, Rebecca is a wisdom steward and purpose coach, helping professionals experiencing personal friction claim peace and fulfillment within their lives. After running on the corporate hamster wheel for 20 years, chasing the next big career step, Rebecca now helps humans facing burnout to reclaim their root purpose so they define their freedom, their joy, their success on their terms. She is the creator of the Soul Alchemy Cycle and the founder of Cleopatra's Seeds. Rebecca, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Nikki. It's great to be here.
Oh, I've read your book and oh my goodness, I am in love with it.
I'm kind of in love with it myself. I've read it many times because you do that over the course of the writing process, but I'm so glad to hear that it's struck some really profound notes with you. That's kind of the goal with the book too, is you want to be able to reach out and touch people and, you know, hit their lives in some way, help them discover new pieces about themselves and use those pieces to take steps forward in their lives.
And your book definitely does that. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey?
Sure. So how far back do you want me to start?
Well, what led to this passion for helping people uncover their purpose and their why?
Sure. So I've always had a passion for helping people. I am a registered nurse, and I spent a fair number of years in clinical, mainly bedside in long-term care. Had a lot of people that I helped cross over, which was just a really amazing experience. And I loved listening to their stories about their lives and what they accomplished. And it wasn't the big grandiose things. You know, I took care of an architect who was the student of a really famous architect. That wasn't what he talked about. He talked about the things he was passionate about, his children, his wife, the things that he did in the mundanities of his life. That's where he was passionate and proud. And that's stuck with me. I moved out of clinical practice for a number of reasons, but one of the big ones was because I wanted to be able to make an impact on a larger scale. I love working one-on-one with people, and I have a drive to really make a broad impact. So I moved into state service, working in state government about 8.5 years ago, and worked for a while as an auditor within our Office of the Inspector General in the Department of Health Services. So I was auditing Medicaid claims and just making sure that there were funds available in Medicaid that were being spent properly so that people who needed care could get the care they needed, that there was money there to pay for that care. After about 4.5 years of that, we had COVID hit, and it kind of became an all hands on deck situation. I got voluntold into the COVID response in my state and found that it was a place that I thrived. I was surrounded by really amazing people who were incredibly intelligent, way smarter than me. And I was able to learn so much from them on a daily basis. And, you know, they gave me the leeway to do things that I'd never had the opportunity to do before and expand and grow my own confidence, my knowledge bases, the opportunity to experiment and make mistakes. Those are things I'd never had. And COVID was a really good experience. I didn't want to leave the response at all at any of the opportunities that I had to leave. And it took a toll, because we were working 60 to 70 hour weeks, week after week after week. I was working 7 days a week, Yeah, it was rough. It was rough. And after a while, you get burnt out. Everybody gets burnt out. And I think COVID hit a lot of us, no matter what industry you're in, and pulled a lot of us into burnout. And there's also a couple of different ways we use burnout right now in our culture, right? So you've got, I'm burnt out because I haven't slept right for a while and I'm just really tired. Or I'm burnt out because I've been doing this thing for a while and I'm kind of bored of it. And then there's the burnt out of my resources are depleted. I'm bone tired. I don't know when I'm going to feel normal again. I've given everything and there's nothing left to give. And yet I'm going to get up tomorrow morning and I'm going to give more anyway. And that's where I found myself at the end of the COVID-19 response within my state. I was broken. I had given everything I possibly could, and I was still being asked to give. And, I've got a family to feed and house, so I kind of had to do it. And I knew I was burnt out. I knew I needed a way forward. So I started going into everything Google dropped in front of me. There were books, there were programs, there were meditations, there was retail therapy, which is really easy to get sucked into.
Oh, yeah.
I love myself some retail therapy, don't get me wrong, especially when it comes to like crystals and stuff. It's dangerous. None of it ever really lasted. Like, I would take a couple of days off of work and I was feeling pretty good by the end of the couple of days. And then I got right back to work. And within a day, I was pulled back down to that same bone tired feeling. Because what was waiting for me was the same burnout. It wasn't like it evaporated just because I took a couple of days off or went shopping or got a massage. It was still there. All I was doing was treating symptoms. And as a nurse, I know that's not a good way to go about things unless you don't have any other choice. There has to be a way to treat something. Otherwise, you're just providing supportive care and you need to hope that your patient is just going to have the chutzpah to get through it. And I didn't. So I'm like, okay, I guess I am going to figure this out because there were no more resources available to me. And so I dove into some shadow work and I did some deep shadow work. And it was a process, as shadow work tends to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I came up with this method that, really looks at what's the root cause of burnout. And it's not stress. Stress is a symptom, not a cause. And how do you address that root cause, especially when it becomes something that is ingrained in our society and something that we don't necessarily have the power to change as individuals? We still have a responsibility to ourselves to make sure that we are in the best place we can be. And you have to be able to address the systemic issue. So that's why I developed the Soul Alchemy Cycle. I developed it for me because I needed it. I needed to figure out how to get myself from that burnt to a crisp, basically ash place, to where I could be me, where I felt like me again, where I could do the things that I love to do. I could be with the people that I loved, and they could recognize that I was me again. I knew I had a huge long life ahead of me and I didn't want to be living it as a pile of ash. So I built the Soul Alchemy Cycle for myself. And then I'm sitting here with this great tool. I can't just keep that to myself. That's not me. That's not who I am. That's not part of my purpose as an adjective, which is in the book. It's I have to share it with other people because it's such an amazing tool that allows you to just shift your perspective and find your way of living as yourself. It's not a one size fits all. It's a customize it yourself based on your needs tool.
That is wow. And everything that you have gone through, it led you to developing this program and your awesome book with a workbook. And we keep talking about it, but we haven't even said the title yet.
Right. So the title actually came to me in a dream, which was kind of crazy. The title of it is When What Gives Way to Why. And that kind of talks to both the root cause of burnout and the solution to it. Our root cause is a what? It's a thing to do. It's a goal to be accomplished. It's productivity, but not productivity in and of itself. It's how we tie our productivity to our personal value, our personal sense of value. And we're taught this as children. It's ingrained in us because it's part of our society. It's how our society is built. And it takes a lot of that shadow work to pull out of it and disconnect from that societal training. And then the why is your purpose as an adjective, which I love using purpose as an adjective. It's a descriptor of me. My purpose describes who I am, and anybody who hears it should know everything there is to know about me. And it should be the case for anyone who discovers their purpose as an adjective, because it describes your core self, who you are, absent all responsibility, absent all obligation that you have taken upon yourself, all other roles that you have taken upon yourself. It's you at the core and what's important to you.
And so many people I've found, especially even doing my own shadow work and working with clients, it's like, what's important to you? Well, normally when we say ourself, if we even say it, it's like the last one on the list.
It's especially women and people who were raised as women, people who present as women, we have been socialized to put ourselves last because that is how we are valued in Western society. We are to be seen and not heard until everybody else's needs are met. If we are parents, we put everybody else's needs ahead of ours until we're breaking. And then we still do it.
We have to, because
We
who's
have
going to
to.
take care of the kids? You know,
Exactly.
I mean,
Who
even if
else is going to do it?
Even if you have a really good partner, it's hard. Adulting is hard anyways.
It is.
And so many people stop at, oh, it must just be stress creating the burnout, when, like you said, it's only a symptom. It's not even the root cause, but most people don't go any further.
Right. So it's not just a simple case of don't stress or stress less. I mean, that sounds so simple, and people want simple answers, right? Because then you don't have to put in any effort to actually deal with the issue. You know, they're looking for quick fixes. There are no quick fixes here. This problem didn't happen overnight. It didn't grow overnight. It was brought into us over decades. You can't heal it overnight. You can't heal it in a month. It's decades of work. And I don't want to say that to discourage anyone. I'm going to still be working through this work, through this soul alchemy cycle, because it's not a one and done. That's the best part about it. It's not a one and done. You go through it, you get to your stable point where you've got your purpose as an adjective. It's your lodestar. It's what you use to make decisions, to make judgments about what to do in life. And when you start having friction, you go back and you revisit it and you do the exercises again and you figure out, how have I changed? How have I grown? Is this still in alignment? And you do that over and over and over. One of the last exercises in the book is all about rituals and creating these rituals for yourself. Rituals aren't luxuries. This is a fantastic story I heard. I think it was on NPR at one point or something, about how rituals are a necessary part of our lives. Without rituals of some sort, we all have them, we would not know how to move through our lives. So, you know, whether it's just an order in which you get ready for the day, or how you prepare your morning beverage, or how you get ready for bed, or what you do when you get home from work, all of those things become rituals because you do certain things in certain orders and it triggers certain emotions. It triggers certain feelings of safety, comfort, etc., preparation, all of those different things. Creating rituals to assess yourself, where you are, where your alignment needs to be, is so, so, so important because it gives you the space to focus on you, especially when you are not prioritized by anybody else.
That's huge because most of us, way too many of us, don't prioritize ourselves or our own self-care. So creating a little ritual to do that sets us up for success.
Absolutely. And that's what this program is all about, is setting yourself up for success in the way that is correct for you. So my ritual isn't going to look like your ritual, isn't going to look like the next person's ritual. You know, there's another exercise all about setting up your space that is your own personal space where you can do assessments, where you can go and retreat to when you need to, that is comfortable for you and that has boundaries around it so that other people don't intrude into it. My space isn't going to look like your space, isn't going to look like the next person's space, because the things that are important to us, the things that we each value, are different. We've lived different lives. We have different things that matter to each of us. And so creating these things for yourself, working through the exercises for yourself, sets you up for long-term success. And you can go back and revisit them and adjust them as you need to meet your goals, to find your freedom, and to do it under your terms.
That's awesome, because we're always growing and evolving as we shed old identities and figure out what drives us anyways. So having something that we can keep revisiting with new eyes, new experiences, it's wonderful.
Absolutely. And you know, you can incorporate, if you do lunar rituals, you can incorporate it into your lunar ritual too. You know, with the new moon, you can be bringing new things into your space. With the full moon, you can be purging things that no longer belong there out of your space. So you can incorporate these rituals into ones that you're already doing, or you can start new ones. It's really entirely up to who you are and how you're practicing.
And the questions and the exercises that you have set up, it's broken down to where anyone can just pick it up and read that portion and do it. And it doesn't have to take, it doesn't have to take weeks. It can take a few minutes a day at most, if that's all you have time for.
Exactly. And it's a pick up and put down. Some of the more lengthy exercises are when we start digging into who you are at your core, as opposed to who you are under all of the identities that you've assumed. But even those are pick up and put down. You can do a little bit here, a little bit there. You don't have to do it all in one go. And sometimes it's even better to not do it all in one go, because then your brain gets a little chance to germinate on some of the things that you did in the exercise, and you can come back to it with new insights.
They're writing down all my identities. It's like, oh yeah, quite a few just came really, really easily. And then a few days later, it's like more ideas would pop in. It's like, oh yeah, I guess I could identify like that too. Okay, I'll write that down.
And I'm glad you brought up identities, because that's another big theme in the book, right? Are your identities. You've got your core identity, who is the you that was born, and then you've got all of your learned identities, and those are the roles that you have learned as you've lived your life. So that's you, the child, that's you, the sibling, potentially, you, the parent, partner, friend, coworker, classmate. All of the different ways we interact with people are identities, and they have different rules around them. And some of those rules overlap and overrule rules of other identities.
Oh,
And it's
yeah.
important to know how those all fit together within your personal life to understand where friction might be happening, so you can make decisions based on your purpose.
Yeah, that makes sense because my role as mom trumps my role as, friend in some circles. It's like, hey, if my kids need me or if I need that, that bonding time, that's what's going to take priority. And that helps me set the boundaries that are necessary for me to, maintain that and protect that because it's sacred. So, where can people find your book?
So my book is currently out in hardcover. It is available on my website, which is www.cleopatraseeds.com. You can also find the workbook there. And the workbook has worksheets to all 13 exercises that are in the book, plus a few little extra fun pieces. There are worksheets for a couple of the more challenging exercises to work through, available for free on the website, but not all 13 of them like are in the workbook. And then some exciting news, the paperback version will be coming out on excuse me, April 26th. I almost said August. It's not going to be quite till August. We're going to get it out for April. So that'll be coming out, just a little bit, over a month now. So I'm really excited about that. And they are sometimes available on Amazon as well. You can order them from bookstores. If you're just looking for the book, you can even go down to your local library, and if they don't have it, you can request it and they'll order it in for you. So lots of different ways to access the book. And then again, those worksheets that are available for free on my website, you can download those, copy them, whatever you need to do. The goal here is for you to have access to the tools that you need to make the progress that will help you on your journey.
I love that. And you also offer one-on-one sessions with people, don't you?
I do. I offer not only one-on-one sessions, but I also offer group classes. So there's different dynamics there. So if you're looking at wanting to work through the entire soul alchemy cycle by yourself with one-on-one support, I'm available for that. And there's information on my website about how to engage with me for that as well. There are also ad hoc sessions available. So if somebody's interested just in like getting one question answered, we can make that happen too. And then group sessions, I'm going to be starting those up early this summer. I will be having classes that people can sign up for. And they're going to be separated into three different sections. So the first section, I believe, is 4 weeks long, and then the second one is 6 weeks long, and the last one is a one-on-one, and that one is 4 weeks long as well. And the reason the last of those sections is one-on-one is because that last section is really focused on you and your goals, and that's really hard to do in a group environment. But the first two sections, you get the group dynamic there of hearing other people's experiences, which may help you remember things and make connections in your own work. I love working in groups because people have amazing ideas and experiences that I love learning from. Learning is one of my core values. So it's always great to have a bunch of people in conversation that can play off of each other.
That is amazing. Do you do these online or in person?
I do them online. I like to make sure that, again, it's accessible as possible, which means that in this day and age, we're doing Zoom meetings. That makes it available to anybody really across the world as long as they're able to get online at the same time we're holding the class. And that just brings everybody from, different cultures, different areas together, which enhances our learning. It's a lot harder to learn when you're all from the same group. Bringing in different experiences just makes that a lot richer.
That is so awesome. Is there anything else that you would like to bring up that anybody would want me to know?
Oh, that's a really good question. I will share, this is really, really new. I have started work on my next book.
Ooh.
And the next book is actually going to be the first of a series of three. And it's going to be based on my personal purpose. So, my personal purpose, which is in the book, is fight wisely, share freely, and love recklessly. And I'm actually going to do them a little bit out of order. I'm going to be starting with love recklessly. So that one is in the works. It's very, very early in the planning phases right now. I have just started to map out the outline for it. But I'm really excited about this because I'm looking at this as a way for us to bring these same concepts of freedom and joy and peace from the individual level now to a more societal level. How do we interact with one another? Now that we've got ourselves figured out, how do we interact with one another and make our entire society a better place for all of us to be?
And you said in the beginning you knew you had a bigger purpose. Wow. That is so amazing. I love it. And all of that will be definitely getting posted on your website when they are
It
complete.
will be. Yes. Yep. So I will also be sharing information as I go along on my newsletter, which you can sign up for on the website.
Awesome. I'm definitely going to be subscribing.
Oh, cool. Look forward to seeing you there.
And I will definitely be putting the website in the description so you can just click on the link and go over there. Definitely check everything out. It is, oh, the book When What Gives Way to Why is it's really I love it because you speak to the reader as if you're just talking to them, and it's so personable and so easy to read, and it's just like, oh, she gets me.
I do. And a lot of it is because we all have so much in common. And we tend to forget how much inside we are alike.
Yeah, and even if the identities and labels and even the experiences are different, there's so much that unites us. And
Absolutely. We're human.
the more we heal ourselves, the more we heal the world around us. And you're taking it to a whole nother level, which is amazing.
I'm so glad that I have the opportunity to. It's a real blessing to have the ability to bring this to a wider audience. I'm not doing a ton right now to like blast it out to the world. I'm not investing heavily in marketing. I'm looking more at like this grassroots conversational connection with it because that's how it needs to grow. You know, I don't want to go viral. I want to make sure that the people who are getting this are the people who need it most desperately, which everybody that I've talked to has.
Oh, yeah.
And that, you know, people are telling their friends about it because that's how we're going to connect with one another is it's not going to go viral in the internet sense. It's going to go viral like grass.
And connection is so important, and you connect with the reader in not just an emotional level, but just at a soul level.
I'm so glad. That makes my heart happy.
Thank you so much for being on the show today. It's been an
Yeah.
absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute delight being here with you and chatting with you, Nikki.
Thank you for joining me today as we explore what makes us uniquely loved. Be sure to subscribe. More adventure awaits. For more articles and to work with me as your personal guide, go to www.techwitchlayer.com. Always remember, you are accepted. You are valid. You are loved.